It's Thursday, March 5th, and welcome to Higher IQ. There's a waterway between Iran and Oman called the Strait of Hormuz. It's 21 miles wide at its narrowest point, and the shipping lane through it is about 3 kilometers in each direction. That's roughly the length of Central Park. Every day, about 20 million barrels of oil pass through it, along with a fifth of the world's liquefied natural gas. As of this morning, almost nothing is moving through it. Tanker traffic has dropped from an average of 24 ships per day to effectively zero. 150 vessels are anchored in open water, waiting, and the cost of moving oil through the region hit an all-time record this week, nearly doubling in a single day. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the most important piece of infrastructure most people have never thought about. What happens when it stops working? Nay, and why the answer is already showing up in the price of almost everything. To understand why the Strait of Hormuz matters, you need to understand how oil actually gets from the ground to your gas station. Most of the world's biggest oil producers are clustered around the Persian Gulf: Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait, the UAE, Qatar, Iran. When they export oil, most of it leaves by tanker, and almost all of those tankers have to pass through the Strait of Hormuz to reach open ocean. There is no alternative route for most of this oil. Saudi Arabia and the UAE have some pipeline capacity that bypasses the strait, but it can handle maybe a quarter of what the tankers move. For Qatar's natural gas, there is no bypass at all. Every drop of LNG from the world's largest exporter goes through the strait or it doesn't go. This has been the arrangement for decades, and it has worked because everyone, including Iran, had an economic incentive to keep the strait open. Iran itself exports oil through the waterway. But the U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran that began Saturday changed that calculus. Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps issued VHF radio warnings to every ship in the area. No vessel is allowed to pass. At least 5 tankers have been struck near the strait, including one off Oman that was set ablaze. 2 crew members have been killed. By Sunday, traffic had dropped to 4 vessels, 3 of them Iranian-flagged. By Monday, it was essentially zero. The economic shockwave moved faster than the missiles. The cost of chartering a supertanker to carry 2 million barrels of oil from the Gulf to China hit an all-time record of $423,000 per day on Monday, up 94% from Friday. Brent crude climbed from $73 a barrel before the strikes to above $83 by Tuesday. European natural gas futures nearly doubled in 48 hours, jumping from 30 euros per megawatt hour to above 60 before pulling back. And then the insurers stepped in. Major marine war risk providers, including Norway's Gard and Skuld and Britain's North Standard, canceled coverage for vessels in the Persian Gulf entirely. Without insurance, ship owners can't legally sail. Protection and indemnity coverage was pulled for March 5th, which means that even if a tanker captain wanted to run the strait, the economics made it impossible. Qatar's state energy company shut down LNG production at its 2 main facilities after Iranian strikes hit the export infrastructure at Ras Laffan, the single largest LNG complex in the world. That one facility accounts for a significant share of global LNG supply. When it goes offline, Europe feels it directly. About 30% of Europe's jet fuel supply originates from or transits through the strait. 20% of its LNG comes through the same corridor. And it's not just energy. The Persian Gulf is home to major container transshipment hubs like Jebel Ali in Dubai. Maersk, the Danish shipping giant that's widely considered a barometer of global trade, suspended all cargo acceptance in and out of the UAE. Hapag-Lloyd and CMA CGM followed. Houthi-controlled Yemen announced it would resume attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea, which forced Suez Canal traffic to reroute around the southern tip of Africa, adding weeks to transit times. So the 2 shortest shipping routes between Asia and Europe are both compromised at the same time. President Trump said Tuesday that the U.S. Navy would escort tankers through the strait if necessary, and that the government would provide political risk insurance at a very reasonable price. Markets briefly calmed. But as Mizuho Bank noted in analysis, Trump's assurances mitigate but do not eliminate the risk. Naval escorts don't stop a missile. And a government insurance backstop doesn't solve the problem that Iran's Revolutionary Guard has claimed operational control of the waterway and threaten to set fire to any ship that enters. Wall Street is trying to price the duration of the disruption. Goldman Sachs modeled a scenario where the strait reopens within a week and oil settles around $76 a barrel. If the closure lasts 5 weeks, they expect 100. Wood Mackenzie, the energy consultancy, said a sustained shutdown could push oil to 150. The range between those numbers tells you how much uncertainty is built into the situation. Nobody knows how long this lasts because it depends on a war that's 5 days old and still escalating. For the average person, the transmission mechanism is straightforward but not instant. Oil prices feed into gasoline prices with a lag of about 2 to 4 weeks. If crude stays in the low 80s, you're probably looking at an extra 20 to 30 cents per gallon at the pump. If it hits 100, the math gets uglier fast. Diesel and jet fuel move faster because they're more directly tied to spot markets, so airfares and freight costs start climbing almost immediately. Shipping costs get folded into the price of everything that moves by container, which is most consumer goods. The knock-on effects compound. Higher energy prices push up production costs. Higher shipping costs push up retail prices. And then there's the second-order problem. If energy prices persist at elevated levels, central banks face a dilemma. Inflation rises, but the economy is slowing because of the same energy shock, which makes it harder to cut interest rates. The Fed was expected to cut rates later this year. That calculation just got a lot more complicated. The deeper lesson is about concentration risk, and it's the same lesson that shows up every time a critical system fails. The global economy has known for 50 years that the Strait of Hormuz is a single point of failure for energy markets. The U.S. Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain specifically to protect it. War games have modeled its closure for decades. Diplomats have used the phrase free flow of commerce in reference to the strait so many times it became background noise. And yet, as of 2024, 20 million barrels of oil still flowed through it every single day because building alternatives is expensive and the strait had always stayed open. It's the same logic that led companies to build their entire supply chain through a single Chinese port or route all their internet traffic through one data center. The system works perfectly until it doesn't, and then you discover that perfectly was doing a lot of heavy lifting. There are pipelines that could partially reroute supply. Saudi Arabia's East-West pipeline can move about 5 million barrels a day to the Red Sea, bypassing the strait entirely. The UAE has a pipeline to the port of Fujairah on the Gulf of Oman, outside the choke point. But combined, these alternatives can only handle a fraction of normal strait traffic. And even those routes face complications now that the Houthis have resumed Red Sea attacks. The redundancy that exists on paper turns out to be thinner than it looks in practice. The countries most immediately exposed are the ones that import the most Gulf oil: China, India, Japan, and South Korea. Nearly 70% of crude shipped through the strait goes to Asia. South Korea's stock market had its biggest single-day sell-off in history this week on Hormuz fears. Japan's foreign minister told Iran directly that it must reopen the waterway. For these economies, a prolonged closure isn't just an energy problem, it's an industrial problem. Manufacturing supply chains that depend on petrochemical feedstocks, plastics, fertilizers, and refined fuels all trace back to tankers that are currently sitting still, 3 kilometers wide, 20 million barrels a day, 150 ships anchored and waiting. The global economy built itself around the assumption that a narrow strait between Iran and Oman would always stay open. This week, that assumption is being tested, and the answer is showing up in the price of oil, the cost of shipping, and eventually at gas stations and grocery stores everywhere. The infrastructure that runs the world is only invisible until it breaks. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.